I got something to share with you this morning. Elena made me this. I asked her if I could use it as part of my sermon today, and she said, okay. She didn't know it, but she's part of my sermon.
Oh.
Elena made me this little heart, brought it into me today. And it says, to Mike, love. You know what this is? Besides love, this is encouragement.
All right.
This is encouragement from a child. You know, I asked the youth class today to describe encouragement, what it meant to them. And there's a lot of different things that it can be. But here's a perfect example from a child what encouragement is. We're going to be in Hebrews today, and we'll share some familiar scriptures. We're going to start out in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, then go to chapter 10. But we need to understand that the joy of the Lord sustains us. It helps us to get through our days. It's our strength. But there are times when all of us need to be encouraged. We need to know that people are praying for us. They care about us. Outside these walls, this world is hard on Christians. You know, maybe not so much now as it was in olden times, but, you know, Elijah, Jonah, Job, they all had moments in their lives when they were so down, they called on God to take them home. Paul, Jeremiah, and Jesus himself had to deal with the sorrow of watching people reject God and reject his love. Reject his truth. You see, as we go through our Christian lives, we all need to be encouraged. We all need to take time to lift each other up because it's hard. It's not always to walk by faith when you have difficult times in your life. As much as I'd like to stand up here and say, you know, I'm your pastor, I'm strong, I can get through this, it's not true. There are hard times. There are days when we need someone. A phone call, a text. You know, you guys know I'm lousy at texting, but just something. One word, two words to get through the day. It's not always easy to be the person God calls on us to be. You know, I'm standing up here and you're all looking at me. But you need to look back and forth in your aisles. You're all called to be examples of Jesus Christ in this world. And it's not easy to live every moment of every day as an example of Christ. We have our low moments. We stumble. We have that time that wells up when someone cuts us off in traffic. We want to yell something out the window we shouldn't ought to be yelling. Or just the anger comes up and you've got to push it back down when the kids are misbehaving. And you know they know better than that. I've taught them better than that. But it's day-to-day life. And sometimes moms, sometimes dads need a word of encouragement from somewhere that somebody has been there and done that. And say, you know what? Don't stress out. It'll get better. Let me encourage you to do the best that you can for today, for this moment, this hour. And let God take care of the rest. Sometimes we need to be that little bit of motivation. People need to put their best foot forward. Sometimes we have to be the one to stand up and say, let's put our best foot forward. Let's spread his word and let people absorb what God has to say. Encouragement is awesome. It's something we shouldn't take lightly because we can change the course of someone's day. With the right encouragement and the right group of people, we can change the course of someone's life. We can change the course of this whole world if Christians would just stand together. And be the encouragers we're called to be. I want you to think about people that's influenced you in your life. Think back. Those people that are important to you. At the high spots and at the low spots. Now, who were they? Were they ones that corrected you? Were they ones that scolded you? Or were they ones that encouraged you to do better? You know, I shared with the group today, sometimes the ones that correct us are also the ones that encourage us. Because with correction needs to be encouragement. When we say, that's okay. You know, you messed up this one time, but let's put that behind us and do better the next time. I can remember my dad telling me that. I can remember my grandpa as he encouraged us and shoved us along life's path. When someone encourages you, it causes you to take a step that maybe you hadn't taken on your own. And I want to understand as Christians, as this body of believers, that we have a responsibility to support and encourage. We're going to look back at the book of Hebrews for our inspiration today. And at the time that this was written, there was life-threatening persecution for the Christians. You know, and as human beings, sometimes the tendency is just to try to save our own skin and not worry. But the book of Hebrews encourages to help one another. Someone wrote, encouragement is the kind of expression that helps someone want to be a better Christian, even when life is rough. To encourage is to inspire another with courage. In fact, Hebrews 3, we want to read 12 and 13, it commands us, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. If that sounds familiar to you, I used that passage not too long ago when I was enforcing the idea of today. It says, you see, brothers, don't allow any of your brothers and sisters to turn away with a deceitful heart. Be there for them. Encourage them. The word encourage is in the present tense. That means now. That means today. Let's do it every day. Because every day is today. We're to be constant encouragers. It's also an active voice. It takes an action. You have to do something to encourage someone. That word, a smile, taking time to cut out a green heart and write love on it. A text. Do you ever have God lay someone on your heart? All of a sudden you start thinking about them. You know what? That's the perfect time first to pray. And then maybe whip out your cell phone and just text. I'm thinking of you. God laid you on my heart. And hit send. That's encouragement. Someone wrote that people live by encouragement. Without it, they die slowly, sadly, and bitterly. I can think of nothing worse to be alone. You can be surrounded by people, and yet you're all alone. Because you don't think anyone cares. So we have to hold tight to our hope. Hebrews 10 verse 23 says, let us hold fast that confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. You see, we can never lose grip on the things that we believe in. I hope all of us here believe in the hope that Jesus Christ gives us. Do you have an expectancy about Jesus Christ? Do you believe that he's coming back for you? I do. I hope everyone here has publicly confessed their love of Jesus Christ and their understanding that he died on the cross for them. Now to me, that's always overwhelming. How can God himself, incarnate in the Son, give his life for me? I'm nothing. I'm a nobody. But that's the love of God. He received the punishment we deserve. He purchased us with His blood. He'll rise again, or He has rose again, but He'll come back to reclaim us. We have to have perseverance in proclaiming our Savior. There are cynical voices out there that's growing stronger every day. They're demonstrating, rioting. They're trying to bully us into not saying what we believe. Then there's the materialistic voices from within us that want to point out the things that we can have. But some of those things will interfere with our service to God. Then there's the events in our lives that seem to shake our faith. And I believe every one of these things you've experienced, every person here today has experienced those life-shaking events, those draws to materialism, to listening to the cynical voices that try to stifle us when we speak about God. But you see, our hope shouldn't be based on unfulfilling promises. Our hope is based on a promise of God and His love. God has never failed us. Yeah, maybe sometimes we don't get what we want, or the end result isn't what we want, but I guarantee everything that happens in your life is resolved to the satisfaction of God. It's Him we seek to please and not those around us. 10:23 says, let's hold fast to the confession. Hold fast means grab and hold, holding on. I think of a movie I saw. I don't know the name of the movie, the context anymore, but I just remember in that movie there was a man holding on to another one by the hand, and the guy says, how long can you hold on to me? And he says, I can hold on to you for the rest of your life. I think he was hanging out over a cliff or something. That's always stuck with me. Because I see a picture of Jesus Christ with His hand down. And He's going to hold on to us for the rest of our lives. But we have to hold on back. And sometimes we need to be encouraged to do that. We have to do it without wavering. And I'm going to tell you, in my life, I've wavered. I still do waver, and I will waver in the future because I'm not perfect. But I can be encouraged. I know at times in your life that you felt weak and unable to change the circumstances around you. I want to tell you to hang on. Hang on to Jesus. But I want to talk to everybody here today and say that they need to hang on to you also. We know each other pretty well, or we should. That's what the fellowship of this family is all about. We gather on Sunday morning to share our lives. When the time comes, 10:45, we gather to worship God, and we should be in that reverent frame of mind. That state of mind when we're saying, God, it's all about You. We're here to worship, to lift You up. But you know, before that time, we have Sunday school. And that's a time to share and learn. We go closer to God by learning His Word and how to apply it to our lives. But just as important, we grow closer to each other as we say, I've got your back. I can encourage you because I've been there. I know what you're going through. I heard your children's been sick this week. If you need something, give me a call. That's encouragement. I know your dad's been having problems. What can I do? Christians, we're called to so much more. Verse 24 continues, or I'll read it first. Verse 24, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. We have to put our mind to the task of stirring up love. Christian brothers and sisters, we're supposed to love each other in spite of our faults. We have to understand each other, to help each other. Encouraging each other isn't an accident. It's something that we strive to do. Verse 24 says, let us stir up love and good works. That means to provoke or urge on. What do I have to do to provoke love and understanding in you? Well, that's easy. I have to gather together with you and encourage you. As Brother Chuck encourages someone else, they say that's the love of Christ. As Audrey goes out of her way to teach her granddaughter how to care and how to give, that's somebody else looking and saying, that's the love of Christ. We had our chili cook-off. No big thing, but there was a lot of fun. But more important than that was people sitting down at a table and sharing their lives and talking, encouraging and lifting up. That's how I get to know about you, and I get to know about the problems that you're facing in your life. We had people here last night that aren't Christians, and they got to sit down with Christians and have a bowl of chili or two or three or four in Jay's case. John was here last night, and he's a joy to sit at the table with, and we got to visit. You know what? John's an encourager to me. Because he's so full of life and so full of fun. It just encourages me. We need to stir up love and good works. You know, we come to church and it's a chance to get caught up on mundane things like basketball scores, what the Buckeyes are doing, family news, health concerns. We have a time of fellowship here where we shake hands and we welcome people and greet them. It's all social interaction and it's all great. But now I want to go a step farther. I want to tie this into God and the love of God. You see, our Christian encouragement needs to go deeper than just socializing and fellowship. I want us to go deep down inside and truly pray and explore ourselves. Call on the power of the Spirit and say, how can I build up my brothers and sisters? How can I brighten their lives? And you know, I believe if we pray and then we listen, the Holy Spirit will guide us, direct us. That time when someone's name comes to your mind, that's the Holy Spirit at work saying, this person needs something from you. This person's having a bad day. And then we have to react. That's that action where we take the time to call them, text them, send them a note, make them a green heart, but just say, I love you. I'm going to say something now that you're probably going to find hard to believe. You ready? There's no perfect churches. Yeah, there are no perfect churches. We're not a perfect church. We have problems. I think every church you're going to find gossip, criticizing, complaining. We have to get above all that. That's that world coming in and percolating through our mind and flowing out our mouths. We can't be encouragers if we're doing that. Do you guys know what prime the pump means? I know some of the older guys in here. Anybody know how to prime a pump? Yeah. Okay, for you younger people that's never operated a hand pump, my aunt and my uncle had a hand pump out by the barn. And the only way that pump would work is if you went to the watering trough and you got a bucket of water and you poured that water down the pump to prime the pump. You had to get water down in there to make the pump work. You could pump on that handle all day if you wanted to. Until you prime the pump, you get nothing. But you take a time to pour a bucket of water down there, and then you can pump it, and you can get all the water you want. You know, and to us, we were dumb little kids. We thought it was fun to pump water for the cows, you know. We didn't understand it was a chore, but it was fun then. As I got older, it probably wasn't fun anymore, but you have to prime the pump. So now think about being an encourager, thinking about Christ's love. You know what? You have to prime the pump. You got to be the first one to make that move. You got to be the first one to share God's love. And then it'll start coming back. Then the pump will start working. And God's love will spread all through the congregation, all through your family, to everyone. But you got to make the first move. You got to be the initial bucket of water. We need to pour a little of our own love first. Now I want to talk about something else. It's assembling together. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another as so much more as they can see the day approaching." Verse 25 teaches that stimulating and urging on is an important part of Christian fellowship and Christian life. It's about getting together, people together in worship. We shouldn't abandon getting ourselves together. Let's face it, going to church has fallen on hard times here lately. For some Christians, church is a weak substitute for sleeping in. But you know, there's something that's bothered me, and it always bothers me. People say, "I don't need to go to church to be a Christian." And that always bothers me. I guess the first thing I have to say is, what is your description of being a Christian? Do you mean I don't have to go to church to have salvation? Well, I guess that if you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you've professed that and you believe that in your heart, that could be true. But if that's true, why wouldn't you want a fellowship? Why wouldn't you want to join together in worship with your fellow Christians? It was never my place to doubt anybody's salvation, and I don't. But sometimes I wonder if deep down inside, did you really accept Christ as your Lord and Savior? Now, if you consider being a Christian, the description being following Christ, to me that would be acting like Christ, which means we follow His example and all the things that Christ did, all the busyness of His day. And let me tell you, nobody was as busy as Jesus Christ. He had a full day every day. But He still set aside one day, the Sabbath, where it said, that's what He did. As He believed, He went and worshiped. You know, we know the stories of where He healed someone on the Sabbath, or He picked the grain and ate on the Sabbath. You know what? That was in addition to His going and worshiping God. To me, this is the most important time of my week, is this hour that we set together in this room that we dedicate to the Lord, to our God, and say, "You're the most important thing in the universe, and we rejoice in being in Your presence." Yeah, every day of the week, we're supposed to represent God through our actions. And great, good for you if that's what you do. But this moment in time, it's to worship God. God the Creator and God the Father. And there should be nothing else on your mind. Your problems outside this wall don't matter right now. Right now, this is about Him. About His honor and His glory. Because you know what? Whatever we leave outside of this room when we come in, God's got it. God knows about it. Believe me. So let's encourage. You know what? Why don't you share that burden with a brother and sister that's in this room here today? I don't mean right now. But how about this week that you contact someone and you say, you know what, Brother Mike, Brother Chuck, Brother Ron, Preston, anyone, any of your sisters in this room, say, I've got a burden right now. Doesn't matter how small or how great it is. Because you know what? We're called to be encouragers. Sometimes all they need is an ear to spill it all out to, and then they'll feel better. Maybe you'll need to take action as an encourager and say, you know what? What can I do to help? You know, one of the greatest things you can do for a young couple and say, you know what, you need time together. How about you bring your kids over to my house and you take some time to be together? How about someone needs a little bit of work done around their house? It was time we got back to doing that, men, women, youth. I heard someone may need some mulch put down coming up here. Wouldn't that be an encouragement to them if we showed up one day ready to spread out their mulch? That would be encouraging. It's hard to live a Christian life without encouragement. You know, I look out here and I see a lot of encouragers. You're all great people. And I believe you all got the love of Christ in you. But it's time we started taking it from inside and handing it out. Giving it away. You know, and that's our purpose of meeting here today. Encouragement. I'm going to go back to an old story I love. I've used it before. And it's getting kind of old now because some of these motivational speakers are using it. About the geese. But it's still true. Lessons in the geese. Number one. Geese flying in a V formation cause uplift and less drag. People actually studied this, engineers, and they say geese flying in a V formation can go 71% greater distances than geese flying alone. I'm glad they did that, but you know, I don't wonder whose money was spent on that study. And a lesson for us people that share a common direction and a sense of community can get where they're going easier and faster. Do you ever look up in the sky and see the geese flying under a V? Have you noticed one of the V is longer than the other? You know why that is? There's more geese on that side. What? That was a good one. Fact number two, when a geese fall out of formation, it finally feels that drag and the resistance of flying alone, and it'll quickly move back up into position. And what kind of lesson for us there is? Well, if we had as much sense as a goose, when we kind of drop away from our fellowship, we'll feel the resistance of this life. And we should quickly get back in amongst the encouragers and make our travel easier. Number three, when the lead goose tires, he'll rotate back into the formation and another geese takes the lead. All these are true facts. I'm not making these up. As that goose is tired, he gets back in the line, and all of a sudden his flight gets easier, and a new leader takes over. You know, it pays to take turns doing the hard tasks. We need to rely on each other, each other's skills. You know, you're all given gifts. We've talked about that. The spiritual gifts. We've talked about that isn't for you. Those spiritual gifts are for everyone else to make their burden easier. You get to be the leader. Let's look at our small groups, our Sunday schools. Let's look at VBS, Awana. We've got leaders in those positions. They're out in front of the V flying along. And maybe sometimes our teachers, our leaders get a little bit tired. Maybe they need to drop back and someone else take the lead. Mary, let me fill in for you tonight in Awana. You walk around and observe, and we'll take over the leadership duties for you tonight. Maybe one of you in Sunday school can say, let me take the lesson next week. It doesn't have to be the adults. You know, we have children that can lead a class. They can get up there and lead something. It's great for them. It's good for their ego. It's good to encourage them to bring out those talents. Let's get back to the geese. I know you're all dying for that. Number four. Geese flying in formation honks to encourage those up front to keep their speed. You know, I've always doubted this one. I'm wondering, are they really honking to encourage them? They say they are. But for us, we're going to use it. Well, we honk to encourage those around us. To keep them moving along. To keep them strong. That's our encouragement. Okay, there's something you need to take away from here today. Your encouragement is honking like a goose. Encourage people. Yeah, well, you guys laugh. But you're going to remember what I just said if you don't remember any of the rest of it.
You're going to regret what you just said.
Yeah, I probably will regret that. In fact, number five, and maybe most important, when a goose gets sick or wounded, drops out, two other geese will fly down with it. I don't know, how many of you ever hunt geese? I've hunted. It's true. When one geese goes down, the other geese will circle back around. They'll stay with that goose until they know it's dead or it's able to get up and fly again. On their long migrations, as they get tired, a goose will drop out or two, and then the others will land on that same pond. You know, God's perfect in His ability in these animals. But I want to say for us, as encouragers, as Christians, as true Christians, followers of Christ, it's our responsibility to stay with someone as they meet them tough times in their lives, to circle back, to remain there, and to help them. William Barclay wrote, "It's easy to laugh at men's ideals. It's easy to discourage others. The world is full of discouragers. We have a Christian duty to encourage one another. Many a time a word of praise or thanks or appreciation or cheer has kept a man on his feet. Blessed is the man who speaks such a word." Truer words were never spoken. You know, God asks us to hold fast unwaveringly in our love of Christ. In our belief in Him. But I want to go farther than that today. We need to hold fast to encouraging fellow Christians. No farther than that yet. We need to be encouragers to those who don't know Christ. It's easy to discourage people. It's easy to belittle people. You know, we see things in this world today that I don't think we would have believed possible 20 years ago. How have we come this far? But we can still be encouragers. We can find that spark and help fan that spark into a raging fire, whether it's in ourselves or someone else. Let's all stand together. I want you to think about something before we leave here today. I want you to think carefully about a time in your life when you were down and out and someone came along to encourage you. Maybe there's a time right now that you need some encouraging. You know, my children and my wife encouraged me to join a weight loss challenge this spring. And the naysayer that I am, you know, I didn't want to do it, but let's say they urged me on, and I did do it. And they're encouraging me every week. It's been successful, so I can't deny that it's worked. But that's a thing in my life that I needed encouraged that I would never admit. I would never admit that other people could cheer me on that way and move me down the path to weight loss, let's say. In case you want to know, I've lost 42 pounds. But it's not about me. It's about the encouragement. So what do you guys have right now that you need encouragement for? We're not talking great big spiritual things. We're talking those little things in your life that you know you want to change. But it's hard. I challenge you today to start praying. And I'm not going to open-end this just to say come up with something. I'm going to say pray that by Tuesday, God will lay something on your heart that you need an encourager in your life. And that God will give you a name of someone you can call to encourage you down that path. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the words. I thank you for the Bible, that book of life that you've given us as an instruction. I thank you for the life of Jesus Christ as he lived out his time on earth as a man that showed us the way. He showed us how to be an encourager, to urge people. Let our life demonstrate your love. And Father, I just thank you for that example. And I thank you for the fact that his blood was shed for our sins, undeserving as we are. Again, it demonstrates a love that is beyond our understanding. But I know in the day that Jesus comes back to reclaim us, Father, we'll understand. And we'll know the joy of being with you and serving you in the fullest possible manner. Father, I pray for all here today. Just open up our hearts, our minds, as we reach out to you, Father. Father, when we allow people to come in and encourage us, we allow your love to pour in. And I thank you for that. I thank you for those that you surrounded me with and encouraged me daily, that lift me up, Father, when I'm down. I ask you to help me be just such an encourager to others. Help me be aware of the obstacles in others' lives and where I can be of assistance. Father, help us to understand the gifts that you've given us, and to fully use those gifts to accomplish your ministries. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ that I pray. Amen.